You've been listening to Pioneer Radio on CFRU 93.3. That's our show. Thanks for listening.
Les étoiles chaque nuit sont épatées, sont amoureuses encore une fois.
Today on Wings.
As we're selling nuclear power plants all over the world, there are about 40 countries who want to build them. Anyone who has a reactor can theoretically make 50 bombs a year, but we only sell it to stable governments. Really? I mean, this plutonium stuff lasts for 500,000 years.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Last week on Wings, we heard from prominent Australian physician and activist Dr. Helen Caldicott. She described how nuclear power adds to global warming and some adverse health effects of radiation. This week, Dr. Caldicott debunks the alleged safety of nuclear energy. She explains its links to deliberate and accidental mass destruction and the unimaginably long times dangerous nuclear fission products persist.
When you fission the uranium in the reactor, it becomes 1 billion times more radioactive, and 200 new elements are made, some last seconds and some last millions of years. I'll describe four of them, radioactive iodine. What organ takes up iodine? Thyroid. It's got a half-life of 8 days, meaning in 8 days, half of it's decayed. It takes 6 weeks to disappear. It is a beta emitter and gamma, and it's nasty stuff.
Here, Dr. Caldicott takes the example of Three Mile Island, Pennsylvania, where a U.S. nuclear power plant had a partial core meltdown in 1979. The World Nuclear Association claims radioactive releases were minimal and no adverse health effects were proven. Dr. Caldicott says they don't understand what to look for.
Three Mile Island is built 13 miles from Hershey's Chocolates. Chocolate factory, like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Now, that's the richest daring area in the country, of course. Do we know the ground measurements around where the cows graze at Three Mile Island? No. When the meltdown occurred, the milk was so full of radioactive iodine, they powdered it until the iodine decayed and then they used it for the chocolates. But what else got out? Strontium-90, half-life 28 years, it's around for 600 years. So the cow comes along, the strontium-90 lands on the ground, gets sucked up in the roots, the grass bioconcentrates it by orders of magnitude, the cow eats the grass, the strontium-90 gets bioconcentrated back in the cow's milk, then a lactating woman might drink the milk, and so the baby, who is so radiosensitive, is drinking radioactive milk, and as the strontium-90 passes through her breast, she could later get breast cancer. Okay? So you've got to understand physiology to understand. This strontium-90 is a bone seeker, like calcium, like radium, and causes bone cancer or leukemia. At Three Mile Island, what else got out? Cesium-137, half-life 30 years. This is a potassium analog. It goes to every cell of the body, causes brain cancers, rare muscle cancers, and cancers all over the place.
If it's hard to trace illnesses to Three Mile Island, the same can't be said for Chernobyl. This Soviet nuclear power plant blew up in 1986.
Chernobyl exploded. Now, when Chernobyl exploded, there was a bloke. You know what a bloke is, don't you? Like, throw another shrimp on the barbie. A bloke is a man, in Australian language. This guy was a specialist in hydroelectricity, knew nothing about nuclear, and he was doing this crazy experiment, pulling out the control rods just to see what happened. And there was a huge explosion, and the control room filled with white talcum dust. And he said to his two young assistants, go and see what's happened. And they came back and they said, it's gone. He said, what's gone? They said, the reactor's gone. He said, don't be ridiculous. Go back and have another look. It had gone. And because the control rods were graphite, like in pencils, it burnt for a long, long time. The wind changed 360 degrees in the first 24 hours. And in Sweden and Scandinavia, where they actually picked up the radiation from the accident, they said, what the hell's going on? Because Gorbachev lied to the world for the first 10 days. So Sweden got a lot of radiation. And in Sweden, the cesium-137 concentrates in the lichen, and the reindeer eat the lichen. Don't eat reindeer. Because cesium lasts for 600 years. In Britain, there are over 300 farms in Wales and Cumbria whose lambs are so full of cesium-137, the government said they have to close their farms down for 100 years, but it's not, it's 600 years. When you go to Europe, be aware that much of the food is radioactive food. Austria, Germany and Greece got a whopping amount. Spain has not been measured. England, Scandinavia. I go to Europe and I practice psychic numbing. But I tell you what, when I shop at home, I look very carefully at where the food comes from, and I don't buy any European food. Because you don't know what batches. You see, it's very sporadic. It came down in hot spots when it rained. And we don't... I rang the guy in Melbourne, Australia, and I said, well, what do you do with the food that's coming in from Europe? He said, oh, we do random spot checks. The computer picks out batches, you know, so that a lot is missed. And I said, well, what do you do when you find radioactive food? Oh, we dilute it with non-radioactive food. As I've explained, the solution to pollution by dilution is fallacious when it comes to radiation because it reconcentrates back in the food chain and you can't taste it. You can't say, I can taste the strontium-90 in this chocolate. Don't eat Hershey's chocolates. It's medically contraindicated. And they haven't sued me, and I've been saying that for a long time. Okay? So that's cesium, and it's scary stuff. Oh, a book's just been put out by the New York Academy of Sciences. You know how the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, which is a branch of the United Nations, International Atomic Energy Agency, says that only 56 people died at Chernobyl? There are very few English papers looking at deaths. So the Russians had over 5,000 papers, which have just been translated to English, published by the New York Academy. Nearly a million people have already died from Chernobyl. Nearly a million. There are homes near Chernobyl full of the most grossly deformed children, because if radiation gets into the developing fetus, like thalidomide, it's going to cause babies with no brains or no arms. Do you know? Single eyes or gross deformities of the limbs. We pediatricians have never seen anything like this before. Thousands have had their thyroids removed for thyroid cancer. This is a conspiracy in medicine that I have never, ever heard of before. And it's so they can sell their blasted nuclear power plants all over the world. That's wicked. It's criminal, medically criminal, to cover up data like that. Now, you can buy the book from the New York Academy of Sciences. It's $150, and they only printed 700. I want you to get onto the New York Academy of Sciences and demand they publish more. There's a big cover-up, even with that book being published.
The book Dr. Caldicott just mentioned is called Chernobyl, Consequences of the Catastrophe for People and the Environment. American reviewers are calling it controversial. Caldicott names more man-made radioisotopes that accumulate in cells and can bombard us from within.
Okay, I'm leaving out lots and lots of nasty ones, like americium, neptunium, einsteinium. They've got really fancy names. So the one I'm going to describe now is plutonium, which is why we fissioned uranium in the first place. It's an alpha emitter, said by its founder to be the most dangerous carcinogenic material known, such that 10 to the minus 6 grams is carcinogenic. That's a millionth of a gram. But when injected into beagle dogs, they didn't find a dose low enough that didn't give all the dogs cancer. 10 to the minus 9 grams, maybe. Nanogram. Plutonium's an alpha emitter. It's an iron analog. So when it gets in the body, it combines with the iron transporting protein and it's stored in the bone, where it can cause bone cancer or leukemia. It's stored in the liver, because iron is stored in the liver where it causes liver cancer. It's transferred from the lung to the lymph glands in the middle of the chest, the mediastinal glands, where it can cause lymphoma or leukemia. It has a predilection for testicles, and it deposits right next to the spermatogonia, the precursors of the sperm, where with the alpha particle it mutates genes in the sperm. And as the man reproduces, those genes, abnormal genes like diabetes, cystic fibrosis, phenylketonuria, get passed on generation to generation. If the man gets cremated, the plutonium goes out the chimney and some other man can breathe it in. So there's an exponential increase in genetic disease. It's a random, compulsory genetic engineering forevermore. Because what's plutonium's half-life? 24,400 years. So that means in that period of time, you have half a pound from a pound. And another 24,400 years, you have a quarter of a pound. It takes 500,000 years to decay away to nothing. Who's it named after? The god of the underworld. The other thing is it crosses the placenta, and the placenta lets nothing pass. It's a big guard dog. But as the body thinks it's iron, it gets into the fetus, where like thalidomide, it can cause the most gross deformities. So that's plutonium, but the magic thing about plutonium is you only need 10 pounds to make an atomic bomb, and that's why they fissioned it in the Manhattan Project. Each reactor makes 250 pounds of it a year. So as we're selling nuclear power plants all over the world, there are about 40 countries who want to build them. United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Syria, I mean really stable countries, not that this is a stable country. So this is 500 pounds it makes a year. So anyone who has a reactor can theoretically make 50 bombs a year, but we only sell it to stable governments. Really? I mean, this stuff lasts for 500,000 years, and as we accumulate hundreds of tons of plutonium, the ability to make bombs goes on for the rest of time. Japan's got hundreds of tons. In a few weeks, Japan is so technologically sophisticated it can make a bomb in a few weeks. We are in grave danger.
If a reactor keeps running long enough, most of the plutonium is burned to become non-bomb-grade plutonium. But spent fuel is even more radioactive.
Now, this stuff, that every year they remove one-third of the spent fuel rods, 30 tons, because they're so radioactive. And if you stand near one single fuel rod, half an inch thick, for a couple of seconds, you'll get such a dose of radiation, like that Russian man, you'll die in 2 weeks of acute radiation sickness, of the gamma radiation being given off like X-rays. And they're thermally hot, so they take out 30 tons, and they put them in cooling pools, which they call euphemistically swimming pools, on the roof of reactors very often. And they stack them on these sort of racks. Now, there's 2 to 30 times more radiation in the cooling pools than in the reactor itself. And in the reactor, there's the amount of 1,000 Hiroshima-sized bombs in the reactor itself. So multiply that by 30. So if you're a terrorist and you've got a missile, you send it into the cooling pool, the water drains out, the cooling pool melts down, and you have a catastrophe much worse than a meltdown, which contaminated the whole of one continent forever. One stupid man caused the whole of Europe to become radioactive. How dare he? And because we've developed a technology with which we have to be infallible, we've got very, very complex systems now run by computers and fallible human beings. I mean, you know, you might have had a fight with your wife the night before. You might have terrible flu. You might have had a psychotic episode, and I've seen patients develop that overnight. Someone might develop a cerebral tumor, like even Obama, and do something really crazy. America's got 104 reactors and you're going to build more. They cost $12 to $15 billion to build now. And this radioactive waste that comes out of the reactors and is in the cooling pools, you've got 64,000 tons of the stuff and no one knows where to put it. And they never will. And as it goes into the, you know, West Valley, New York, you've got had a terrible, revolting reprocessing plant there, and the creeks and the rivers all around there are very radioactive. And I went to see the man who came from West Valley, New York, in Congress. I was a young woman then. I walked into his office and he said to me, "Can you tell me what to do with that radioactive waste in West Valley?" And I was a physician at Harvard. How would I know what to do with the radioactive waste? No one knows. And it has to be stored safely for 500,000 years. And as it leaks and seeps into water supplies, which it will and is doing now, it will bioconcentrate back in the food chain. And you can imagine our descendants waking up in the morning, their breast milk already radioactive, their babies being born deformed or with genetic disease, children getting cancer at the age of 6 instead of 60 because they're exposed in utero. That's what we're leaving to our descendants, so we can turn these blasted things on and have computers. How selfish. How criminal. This is one of the greatest public health hazards the world will ever know. And it goes on and on and on. And even Obama thinks it's okay. I need half an hour with Obama. If anyone knows how to get me there, I'll go. I'll even pay for my own plane fare from Australia. So that's radioactive waste.
You're listening to Dr. Helen Caldicott, founder of Physicians for Social Responsibility, speaking in November 2010 in Troy, New York. Author of 11 books, she has been a leading figure in the international movement against nuclear weapons and nuclear power for 38 years.
Weapons. Cold War's over, right? Gorbachev and Reagan almost agreed to abolish nuclear weapons over a weekend in Iceland in 1987. But they got hung up on Star Wars. Reagan was obstinate, so was Gorbachev, so it failed. So here we are, now the world has 26,000 hydrogen bombs. I want to describe a hydrogen bomb. You're in Albany, just next door. Albany's targeted probably with a couple of hydrogen bombs, but New York is targeted with 40. 40, there's such a redundancy of weapons. Yet they talk about terrorists. Of the 26,000 bombs in the world, Russia and America own 97% of them. Who are the real rogue states? Who are they? Yeah, you. And Russia, holding the world at nuclear ransom. All life on Earth in the palm of their hands. And they won't get rid of them because they're symbols of masculinity. We thought when the Cold War ended that, of course, they'd get rid of the bombs. And then we got Clinton, who is a coward, who was scared of the Pentagon because he didn't go to Vietnam. He smoked some dope, so he was vulnerable. And he had no guts. So he didn't take on the Pentagon. We handed him on a silver platter nuclear disarmament. We had 80% of Americans behind us. We had the whole world behind us. The Cold War ended. We thought, that's the end. They'll get rid of the bombs. He could have flown in Air Force One to see Boris. Boris Yeltsin, a hardened alcoholic, a bottle of vodka before breakfast, Wernicke's encephalopathy, Korsakoff syndrome, and said, "Boris, sign here. In 5 years, we're going to abolish nuclear weapons." He did not. And if we blow up tonight, it's Clinton's legacy. If the weapons are launched on one side, they take 30 minutes to hit with 40 bombs on New York, 60 on Washington. Every town and city with a population of 25,000 or more is targeted with at least one bomb. And I'm going to describe a bomb coming in here, a big one. Russia has inaccurate, very big bombs. And the button was pressed half an hour ago by accident. The computer made a mistake, or the Chinese hacked into the early warning system, and it comes in at 20 times the speed of sound, so you won't hear it. And you know, sometimes, I don't know if you have it now, sometimes they go, "Ooh, this is the early warning system, this is just a test." Well, we haven't got NPR on, so we don't know. It will explode in Albany with heat inside the center of the sun. It will dig a hole 3/4 of a mile wide and 800 feet deep, turning everything into radioactive fallout, including the people and the buildings. 5 miles from the epicenter, everyone will be vaporized. A little boy in Hiroshima was reaching up to catch a red dragonfly on the blue of the sky, on his hand against the blue of the sky, and there was a blinding flash, and he literally disappeared and left his shadow on the pavement. Never before had man been able to vaporize his fellow human beings. 5 miles from Albany. Then 20 miles from Albany in all directions, everyone lethally burnt. Burn patient is the most difficult we ever treat. Everyone will die. People will be sucked out of high-rise buildings, turned into missiles travelling at 100 miles an hour. Glass flying through the air at 100 miles an hour, decapitating people. Then the whole area will be engulfed in a firestorm of 3,000 square miles, even in the middle of winter. The heat is so intense. And as every town and city in America, North America, Canada, is so targeted with at least one bomb, the fires will coalesce north and south, east to west, and the whole continent will burn. Europe is so targeted by Russia. Since the Cold War ended, America's had the audacity to target China. England's targeted. Australia's targeted. Japan's targeted. Because there's so many weapons. There are only 240, I think, major cities in the Northern Hemisphere. And these weapons are ready to go. There are two. I flew over the missile silos the other day and I looked up. There are hundreds of them. You see, if you fly over in North Dakota and South Dakota, these roads ending in a sort of square box. And there's another road going here and a square box. Inside those boxes are two men, aged 18 to 20, each armed with a pistol, one to shoot the other if one shows signs of deviant behavior. What if the deviant one shoots the normal one? The locks are 12 feet apart. They have keys. So one man can't turn both keys and start a nuclear war. But if you tie a string to one key, one man can start a nuclear war. In October, they lost all their power and communications with the Pentagon. In October this year, which could have initiated a nuclear war. In 1997, America launched a missile from Norway with a weather satellite on it. They had warned the Kremlin. The Kremlin forgot. They picked up the attack with the early warning system, and for the first time, the football was opened in Moscow. Do you know what a football is? If you see Obama always walking, just behind him is a man with a suitcase which has the codes to start a nuclear war. When Reagan was shot, they lost the football for 3 days. Clinton had some codes in his coat pocket and he got his coat dry cleaned. He lost his nuclear codes. And Yeltsin, the football was open. He was probably drunk and he had generals standing over his shoulder and he had 3 minutes to decide whether or not to blow up the planet. And the generals were saying, press that button, Mr. President. 10 seconds before the end of that 3 minutes elapsed, the missile veered off course. And those situations occur not infrequently, all the time, and now the Chinese are hacking into the early warning system in the Pentagon. And that's called cyber war, because all of these things are computerized. Christ Almighty, what the hell do we think we're doing? Ready to blow up the planet. We now hold the world in the palm of our hands. We are the curators of life on the planet, including 30 million other species that cohabit the planet with us. So when and if the bombs land and the whole of America and Europe, etc., burns, the Earth will be covered with a cloud so thick it'll block out the sun for up to 10 years, creating a short ice age, a nuclear winter, and everything and everyone will die and freeze to death in the dark. So, do we have global warming or do we counteract it with nuclear winter? I'm joking. So Clinton's left this legacy, and Obama's got these blasted Republicans who are nuts in the Congress, who block everything, although he really does want to abolish nuclear weapons. And Senator Kyle said to him, to get the New START treaty you agreed with Medvedev to sign, to get it ratified by the Senate, you've got to give us $825 billion to build 3 huge new nuclear weapons factories. And that's what they're doing. How dare they? How dare they talk about criminal behaviour? These men should be locked up in jail. And I'm speaking now as a physician, because really they're mentally ill.
The new Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty between Russia and the U.S. went into effect February 5, 2011. The treaty does not call for a reduction of the nearly 20,000 nuclear weapons held by the two countries. It just limits deployment.
America spends $1 trillion a year on weapons. This is a killing country. You don't even have a free healthcare system. So we've got three things facing the human race now: global warming, the threat of instant annihilation of the whole world, and or epidemics of disease for the rest of time. I commissioned a report called Carbon Free, Nuclear Free. You can download this. And in fact, all the technology is here right now to make America carbon free, nuclear free within a few decades. Every house should have a solar panel. Every house should have a solar hot water system. Even in Boston, you can do it. And Toronto. It's enough sun in the winter. Every parking lot should be covered with solar panels. We should be importing electric cars with lithium-ion batteries from China, plugging them into solar power during the day and driving them home at night. Then you plug the car into your house and power up your house. Solar power. You should have windmills. There's enough wind west of the Mississippi to supply this country with electricity twice over or three times over. There's geothermal power. You should be having hydroelectricity here, as you once did, to run your mills. Why aren't we doing it? Because the politicians are controlled by the corporations, because you guys are too passive. It's no use sitting at computers. It takes all the time. I mean, I can spend all day on my bloody computer. What good does it do? We've got to get off our bottoms and get out there and do something about it, like we used to. Make it uncomfortable. Those politicians are all corporate prostitutes. How dare they? They're millionaires. Renewable energy, a combination of it, is much, much cheaper than nuclear power and cheaper than coal. You can't live another day without remembering what I've just said and devoting your lives to saving the creation. What is the responsibility of a parent and a grandparent but to make the world safe for our children? And don't spend another day doing nothing.
This concludes a two-part series about nuclear power, weapons, and health featuring Dr. Helen Caldicott. Dr. Caldicott has taught at Harvard Medical School, founded the organizations Physicians for Social Responsibility, the Nuclear Policy Research Institute, and Beyond Nuclear. She has authored 11 books, including Nuclear Power is Not the Answer and If You Love This Planet. The reports mentioned in this broadcast were carbon-free, nuclear-free, available at the Institute for Energy and Environmental Research, IEER.org, and Chernobyl, Consequences of the Catastrophe for People and the Environment, which can be found at the New York Academy of Sciences, NYAS.org. This program was recorded in November 2010 in Troy, New York. This is Stacy Pettigrew, reporting for Wings.
Dr. Caldicott also founded WAND, Women's Action for Nuclear Disarmament, which later became WAND, Women's Action for New Directions. They educate to change the U.S. national budget priorities and support effective women politicians. To hear Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, advocate and ally of matriarchal studies. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Mutilated.
Sure.
Mutilated.
Who are you?
Mutilated.
Like that.
Mutilated.
Manlisher Tartano Radio. Live Tuesday nights from 10:30 to 12:30. On CFRU 93.3 and 12. And on CFRU.ca. Please feed me another cookie.